Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. We wanted to find out more about a public health crisis that may have been a byproduct of the pandemic lockdown. Over the past year, multiple children's hospitals say that they have seen a surge in eating disorder admissions. Providers say that the pandemic triggered an overwhelming demand for eating disorder treatment, and many of the parents involved feel desperate. They know their kid is sick, but they're struggling to get help. Michigan Radio's Kate Wells reports on what advice experts and parents who've been through this have for families.
Amelia Haywood's story is the kind that doctors say they have been hearing over and over again for months now.
So my name is Amelia. I'm 15 years old. I play volleyball, and about 6 months ago, I was diagnosed with anorexia nervosa.
Amelia has long brown hair. She wears it loose over her red athletic jacket, and she's sitting in her home in suburban Grand Rapids. To understand how she got better, first you have to understand how she got sick. It started when the pandemic hit last March, because suddenly this busy, talkative, high-achieving kid felt completely lost.
People are dying. Everyone's getting sick. You can't see your friends. It was hard because I felt like I didn't have any control over anything except what I ate and how I exercised.
So she was like, you know, I'm going to eat healthy. I'm just going to stay in good shape. But then as quarantine stretched into summer and then into fall and then into winter, that intensity and that restriction started to consume her. She would make these elaborate smoothie bowls and then post pictures of them to Instagram. But she'd give the smoothie to her sister and lie and say she'd already eaten. She would skip time with friends to be able to go for runs, and she would wear baggy sweatpants to cover up her weight loss. Even after she was diagnosed with anorexia, the disease took such a toll that she landed in the emergency room 4 times and was hospitalized 3 times.
These are kids whose bodies are failing because of their poor nutritional intake.
This is Dr. Terry Bravender. He is an adolescent medicine doctor, and he specializes in eating disorders at the University of Michigan C.S. Mott Children's Hospital. It's one of the places where Amelia was treated.
The medical hospital is really a safety net rescue for them so that they don't starve to death.
During the first year of the pandemic, the number of eating disorder hospitalizations at Mott Children's doubled. Boston Children's Hospital just published a study of their own saying that they've been seeing a surge too. And some experts think that the pandemic acted as kind of like a mass trigger for kids and teens who were already genetically vulnerable to eating disorders. Even before the pandemic, though, there was already a shortage of programs and therapists who know how to treat these illnesses. Doctors say they are now hearing from parents who are calling as many as 60 therapists and cannot get their kid in anywhere. Amelia's mom, Jennifer Ackerman Haywood, says navigating her daughter's illness felt like being in a maze.
It seems insane because if your child gets a cancer diagnosis or something else, you know, there's a protocol for cancer. You know, there's a protocol for some of these other illnesses out there. There isn't a universal protocol for eating disorders.
So Jennifer did what so many others have done. She talked to other parents and as many experts as she could possibly find. Here's some of what she learned. First, if you think your kid may be at risk for an eating disorder, you need to take them to the doctor immediately. Even your primary care physician can get you a diagnosis and make referrals. And also make sure you get your kid's test results right away, not just for weight, but for things like blood pressure and heart rate. Jennifer says it was weeks before they learned that Amelia had fallen off the growth chart and that her EKG showed a dangerously low heart rate.
When I learned about what her rate was 3 weeks prior, I realized that she was about a point away from like a immediate medical, like she'd have to be immediately hospitalized. And I just thought, wow. We were that close to that, and we didn't know.
Number two, find a psychotherapist who specializes in eating disorders. You can go to the National Eating Disorder Association's website. They've got a list of providers based on where you live, as well as a lot of other really useful tools. And even if there aren't any qualified specialists nearby, a lot of providers are now doing virtual visits. Number three, understand that before your kid can get better mentally, they need to get better physically, often through a strategic nutrition plan. When Jennifer first put her daughter into therapy, she didn't factor in how malnourished Amelia was.
What I didn't realize at the time, that now I fully understand, is that when your child is medically unstable, they cannot process therapy sessions and things like that. If your brain is starved and your heart is suffering and your organs are being robbed of nutrition, like, you can't mentally do that work yet.
And finally, number four, don't give up. Recovery is possible, but setbacks do happen. So don't be afraid to get more intensive treatment if your child isn't improving. Jennifer says that checking her daughter into an inpatient treatment center was one of the hardest things she has ever had to do. But for Amelia, it ended up being a turning point.
Being able to talk to people who are going through the same thing helped me so much and realize that I'm not alone.
These days, Amelia's recovery is really going well. Jennifer says it feels like they are not out of the woods yet, but they can at least see the path. And Amelia, for her part, really wants others who are going through this to know that it does get better.
And now I'm starting to get activity back. I can hang out with my friends and live my life how I want to live. And I know it's really hard to recover, and I know it's really hard to just like reach out, but at the end of the day, it's so worth it.
Adolescents with eating disorders and their families can feel completely alone in this, but they don't have to be. We're also putting a bunch more resources online at michiganradio.org that you can check out.
We invited Kate Wells here to dive a little deeper on some of the warning signs about eating disorders and how parents and families and their kids can better understand why we're seeing more of this now and how to help. Hey, Kate, thanks for coming.
Hey, April. Thanks for doing this kind of extra time on this. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Obviously, a lot of kids struggled with mental health issues during the pandemic. And,
You
know, I've just got to believe as a parent, it's got to be hard to know how to help. You don't want to say the wrong thing. Everybody's been under a ton of stress. And the last thing you'd want to do is create more issues, right?
Yeah. I mean, everybody is kind of in this boat. Everybody who heard about this reporting was like, oh, I'm glad you're doing this because here's what's going on with my kid and I don't know whether I should say something. So just know right now that your family is not alone in this. Your kid is not alone in this. Every single body and mind that made it through the pandemic, including your own kids, made it through an enormous amount. And that stress has taken a toll on a lot of folks.
Yeah, for sure. I have this feeling that diets also went through radical rethinking during the pandemic. You know, a lot of people were just home and eating in different ways than they had usually eaten. I assume that just eating different things and interacting differently is not necessarily a warning sign. I mean, what should parents be looking for in their kid that might be of concern?
So there's a couple of things. One, so yes, weight loss, weight gain, or frequent weight fluctuations, but put a pin in that. Failure to gain weight as expected, like if they drop off their growth chart at the doctor's office, an inability or a lack of desire to eat a variety of foods without experiencing like a lot of anxiety or discomfort or guilt. If they eat different foods than the rest of their family, if they're skipping meals or snacks, if they're cutting entire food groups or types of food out of their diet, if you feel like they're exercising kind of compulsively, or if you notice that food is going missing, that can sometimes be a sign of binge eating. And generally, too, just social withdrawal, low mood, irritability, anxiety, all these symptoms can be caused by malnutrition. But of course, you also see that in just what it's like to kind of be a teenager or a kid right now.
Yeah. Do you think that there's anything that we can be aware of in terms of what kids observe from us? I mean, some people put on weight during the pandemic. Some people took the time and, you know, kind of got their habits in order and developed some healthy new ones. Did you hear from the experts that kids are watching as we track our calories?
Yes. So in the way that we talk to kids about food and in the way that we think about eating disorders, we know that two things are happening here. One, they're genetic. So a family doesn't cause an eating disorder any more than a kid causes an eating disorder. There is a genetic predisposition to this disease. The other factor is the environment. And as we just heard, obviously the pandemic was an environment that triggered this. But the experts say that even more than worrying about your kid's weight, is to look at the environment as a whole that they're in. You know, we've all been thrown off in this last year. So if you're worried because, like, oh, you started doing a lot more screen time during the pandemic, or like in my house, like the dining room that we used to have family meals at has been turned into my office. Are you starting to slowly get back, when you can, to having the kinds of options and opportunities for kids in terms of activities and a wide range of food? And you talked about, are they watching us? Yes, our kids don't miss a beat. And if something that you're wrestling with in your own life around food, they can pick up on that. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but it means that talking to them honestly about it and keeping that focus on a wide balance rather than good foods or bad foods or good weight or a bad weight is what they need to be healthy.
Michigan Radio's Kate Wells. Kate, thank you so much for your reporting on this.
Thank you, April.